So this is Pavitra Ekadasi. This is the Mahatmyam, or the glories of this particular Ekadasi in Shravan Shukla. Shravan Shukla Ekadasi. And this narration is taken from Bhavishyottara Puran. It's a conversation between Krishna, Sri Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira. And Maharaj Yudhisthira is asking Lord Krishna, O Madhusudan, can you please describe the name and glories of this Ekadasi in detail? Krishna replied, O King, the name of this sacred Ekadasi is Pavitra, which destroys one's sinful reactions. By hearing the glories of this Ekadasi, one obtains the result of performing a Bajpayee sacrifice, which apparently is a very elaborate and complex sacrifice or yajna to attain lots of sukriti and punya. So simply by observing this Harivasara, or the sacred day of Hari, one gets more benefit than that. Now he tells the itihas. Lord Krishna tells the itihas, or the history of this Ekadasi. Long ago, in the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, which means about a million and a half years ago, there was a king named Mahijit, who ruled the kingdom of Mahishmati Puri. The king had no sons, and he was unhappy while conducting his activities. A married man who has no son has no happiness, either in this life or the next. For many years the king tried to get a son, but was not fortunate enough to get a Jew-like son who would give him all pleasure. One day, realizing his own pathetic condition, the king called his subjects, whom he treated as his children, to the royal assembly and said to them, O dear subjects, I have never committed any sinful activity in my life. I did not increase my treasury by unlawfully earned wealth. I did not plunder the wealth of the brahmanas and the demigods. Rather, I have conquered this world by following the proper code of conduct. And I have maintained all of you like my own children. I have never hesitated to award due punishment even to my own brother and relatives according to their faults. And I have shown due respect even to my enemy if he was gentle and pious. O brahmanas, in spite of traveling on the religious path like this, I am bereft of a son. Please consider carefully the reason behind this and advise me. After hearing the lamentation of the king, the Brahmin's advisors discussed the subject and concluded that the king should go to the forest and visit the ashrams of the great sages who know the past, present, and future. In other words, the great sages, they were familiar with Bhrigu Samhita. And if you know the Bhrigu Samhita, then you can tell about the person's past, present, and future. So they could say, oh, in the past you did like this, and now you're reaction, sinful reaction is you will not have a son. So they can describe like that. He wandered in the forest and he came across many ashramas and he finally met the famous sage Lomasha Muni, or Lomasha Rishi. He was engaged in severe austerities. His body was chinmoy and full of bliss, and he strictly observed the vow of fasting. He was self-controlled, and he knew the tattva-gyan of dharmic principles. He was well conversant with the knowledge of Shastra. His duration of life was fantastic. He was an effulgent saint. As one kalpa of Brahma would pass, one hair, which means loma, would fall from his body. That is why the sage is called Lomasha. And he knows the past, present, and future, because he's seen it. He lives a kalpa. A kalpa means one day of Brahma as a kalpa, and one kalpa means 1,000 yuga cycles. So 1,000 kali yugas and 1,000 dwapara yugas and 1,000 treta yugas and 1,000 sati yugas equals one kalpa, one day of Brahma. Then there's one night. So when one kalpa would go by, one hair would fall from his body. So he lives as long as Brahma lives, for 310 billion years or something. So he's seen a lot. He is one man that you could say has seen it all. Enchanted by this great sage, the king's advisors offered their obeisances to the rishi and spoke to him with great humility. O great sage, due to our great fortune, we have met a great soul like you. Who are you? The sage replied. Why have you come here? Why are you praising me like this? O great sage, we have come to solve our dilemma. O Lord, our king Mahijit has no sons. We are his subjects, and we are treated by the king as his own children. We are feeling disturbed on seeing the distress of our king. O best of the Brahmanas, we want to strictly undergo austerity here. It is the good fortune of the king that today we have met a great personality like you. By the darshan of a great personality, a man certainly attains all perfection. Please instruct us in such a way that our sonless king can have a son. So here there are a lot of points are being mentioned here so far in this story from Bhavishyottara Purana. One point is that the king, how the kings would treat, how the prime minister or the kings or presidents, how they would treat their praja. Praja means everyone who's born in the kingdom. It means the human beings, naturally, women, children, boys, men, human beings. It also means the animals, beasts, tigers, lions, deer, cows, dogs, cats. It means the birds, trees. These are all the praja. All the living entities that are born or exist or live within the kingdom of the prime minister or the king, they're considered his children, his own family members. So he's very concerned that they're maintained. He maintains them and looks out for their welfare as if they're his own children. Generally, people, they're very careful and very, let's say, particular about maintaining and looking after their own children. But the children across the street, they don't care. They care less if they live or die, if they have food or no food, or they have clothing or no clothing. Listen, I'm taking care of my children. That's enough. Bus. That's now. And nowadays, one's considered a great hero if he can maintain one wife and two children. If he can maintain one wife and two children, educate them and clothe them and feed them, he's considered to be a very virtuous and pious man, a great hero of the modern society. But a million years ago in Dwapara Yuga, this king Mahijit, he was so broad-minded and such a proper king, because the king is called Naradeva. Naradeva means the Deva among the Nara, a god among men. God among men means that he was representative of God. He's a Deva, and the supreme Deva, the Paramdeva or the Paramishtadeva, is Bhagavan himself, Vishnu. As Vishnu is the maintainer of all living entities, so his representative in a particular kingdom is known as the emperor or the king. And the king is a representative of Vishnu. As Vishnu maintains everyone at every moment, the king is also his appointed representative. So therefore the people would worship the king like Vishnu. When they would install the king, it's called the Raj Abhishek. It's called the Raj Abhishek. When the Yuvaraj was installed, the Raj Pratishtha, they'd have the Raj Abhishek. And he would sit on a Singhasan, and he would be bathed with Panchagavya, five products from the cow, the Gomutra, Gobar, and Dud, and Ghee, and Dahi. It's called Panchagavya. And then he would be bathed with Panchamrita, which means milk and yogurt and ghee and honey and chinipani, sugar water. It's called Panchamrit. So these 10 liquids would be poured. Then Navagraha, Navaratna, Navaratna Pani, water that's been soaked in 9 different jewels, Navaratna Pani, and Narayal Pani, and Amras, and all different fruit juices, and very elaborate Abhishek, and then Artik and Gilap and everything, like we have a big puja, Janmastami. So he's the king of kings, and he's worshipped just like God. This is called the Pran Pratishtha, or the Raj Abhishek, the Abhishek of the Raj, the king. This was done. Even a few hundred years ago in India, such things were done. And all the people would come and bathe the king, all the praja. And they're bathing him just like they come and bathe the deity of the Lord. You may have a Gopal deity, on Janmashtami, some Utsav deity, and they allow the public to come and bathe. Often they do like that. So this point is made in the story. We're hearing about the ancient Vedic culture, the Varnashram culture. How much love, how much care, how much love, how much concern that the king had for his subjects, that he treated them like his own children. They were all happy, they were all prosperous, protected, secure, peaceful under his rule. But the king himself was disturbed because he had no Yuvaraj, no son to do his punya or no putra. So that's one point we heard. Another point we heard just now about the brahmanas of the king, the brahminical advisors of the king, they're appreciating the prabhav of Lomasha Rishi. Of course, he's one of the famous rishis of the Vedic paradigm. Lomasha Rishi is many, many stories about Lomasha Rishi throughout the Puranas because he's lived so long. He's seen so much and helped so many people. And he's a fantastically long lifespan. So he's very experienced, very wise old man. Very old and very wise. So you'll find many, many stories involving Lomasha Rishi. And in this particular case, the Brahmins are saying that darshan, simply having darshan or a great personality, a man can attain all perfection. So this darshan is very powerful, sudarshan, to see the face of a devotee, especially a devotee absorbed in Krishna bhakti. It has great prabhav. There are many cases in the history of ISKCON of people seeing Prabhupada at Rath Yatra. During a public event like Rath Yatra, boys and girls, young boys and girls would see Prabhupada riding in the Rath cart or giving lecture at the Pandal or dancing in London for 6 hours in front of the Rath Yatra cart. Prabhupada danced in the street in 1970 maybe. And 70 means he was 74 at the time, or 75. And he danced for 6 hours continuously. And many young boys and girls around the world who would see Prabhupada, his transcendental form and beautiful lotus-like face, they would become attracted. And even just by seeing him, they would come to the temple, move in, and even become devotees without even hearing Sarikata. There's so much prabhav, so much tej, so much influence, so much prem, so much compassion, so much purity, that it would just overwhelm the people and they would change the whole course of their life. In Bengali, Krishna's Kaviraj, he glorifies the power of the sadhu. Sarasanga, sarasanga, sarvashastra hoy, lavamatra, sarasanga, sarvasiddhi hoy. He said, lavamatra, that all the shastras proclaim, sarvashastra hoy, sarasanga, sarasanga, sarvashastra hoy, lavamatra, sarasanga, sarvasiddhi hoy. Hoy. That all the shastras are telling that by associating with a sadhu, lavamatra, a lavamatra means a very short portion of time, less time than you can blink your eye, you can get sarva siddhi, all perfection. Because if someone, I mean, there's different types of sadhus. There's Advaitin sadhus who worship the impersonal Brahman, and there's Vaishnav sadhus, and there's yogi sadhus, yogi bhavas, and then there's Vaishnavas. They worship the personal form of the Lord, Savishesh Brahman, Brahman with qualities, transcendental form, transcendental qualities, Savishesh Brahman. And then there's Nirvishesh Brahman, Brahman with no form, no qualities, Nirgun, Nirup. But when one sees a Vaishnava engaged in the worship of the Lord, speaking or chanting or doing puja or doing meditation, he's actually seeing the face of someone absorbed in transcendence. He's seeing the face of someone, he's seeing the face of someone seeing God. So it's like you can look in a mirror and see someone else's face. If someone is standing nearby and there's a mirror on the wall and you look in the mirror, you can see that person reflected in the mirror. So in the mirror of the face of a Vaishnava, you can actually see the Lord reflected. The Lord's energy, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's love, the Lord's compassion are reflected in the face. And that overwhelming experience of seeing the face of a genuine Vaishnava actually can change the course of a person's history. Like we have a phrase in English, which is applying to Maya, love at first sight, which is really what we call lust. A man sees an attractive woman, or a woman sees a handsome, strong, powerful man, and she may have lusty feelings. Oh, I like that man. I want that man. I have to have that man. Or vice versa, that woman. So this is simply the play of lust on the plane of exploitation. One person exploiting the other for their own enjoyment. But a similar phenomenon happens on the platform of darshan. It was love at first darshan. It was attraction at first darshan. Seeing the face of the devotee absorbed in bhakti has such an overwhelming purifying effect and elevating effect that one, right then and there, one thinks, oh, I want to become, I want to become like that devotee. I'm attracted to that devotee. I want to be like them. I want to, I don't know what they're all about, but I like them. I'm attracted to them. Let me find out more. So then they see Prabhupada, then they come to the temple, then they hear, then they become convinced. But the first conviction was simply by darshan. So this Brahmins are getting darshan, this fantastically pure and powerful, an ancient rishi, Lomasha Rishi. And they're saying, they're glorifying him. We're very, by good fortune, sobhagya, or punya sukriti, by sukriti, purva sukriti, by good fortune. And it's a fact. There's something called the gyati sukriti, unknowingly we do something good, and then there's sukriti, knowingly we do something good. And the combination of our cumulative agyata sukriti and sukriti, which is knowingly, that combines together to produce something called shraddha, faith. And that faith will lead us to sadhus. That faith will buy us, that faith will purchase us darshan of saintly people. Darshan means to see, and darshan also means philosophy. There's two meanings of darshan. Darshan means to see, to look. Drishti, darshan, to look. With the eyes, with the material eye, you see, and you have some experience of the prabhav, the effect, the feeling, the transmittance of some energy from seeing that sadhu. And then, after seeing, then there's hearing, perceiving with the ears. You're perceiving with the eyes, and you perceive with the ears. That's also called darshan. Hear the philosophy, hear the Harikatha, hear the Tattvagyan. Tattvagyan means the knowledge of truth. Bhagavan Tattvagyan. Here's the knowledge of Bhagavan. Nam Tattvagyan. Bhakti Tattvagyan. Then by hearing, then by this darshan, by darshan of seeing, and it creates an attraction and creates some faith. And then by darshan of hearing the philosophy and the teachings, and increases the faith, and then one can attain perfection. So they are saying, by good fortune we've met you, and by having darshan of a great personality, a man certainly attains all perfection. So these two points we've heard, these are two points of tattva. About kshatriya, varna tattva, and ashram tattva. Varna tattva means the truth of varna. So the varna is, there are four varnas, shudra, then vaishya, kshatriya, brahman. And there are four ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So we heard the varna tattva, the truth of the kshatriya or the kshatriya, how they behave and how they treat their praja or citizens. So this is the truth of proper varnashram dharma, varnashram tattva. This is a proper king, a religious, pious, proper Vedic king. Mahijit, King Mahijit of Mahishmatipuri. And then we heard something about the Brahman tattva, or the ashram tattva of the great rishis, the sannyasis, the acharyas, the acharyas, the mahajans. What is their prabhav? Sarva siddhihoi. You can attain perfection just by darshan. After hearing the sincere prayers of the Brahman advisors of King Mahijit, Lomasha Rishi entered into a state of deep meditation for one moment. And by that meditation, he was able to understand King Mahijit's previous life. And he could see it all on the screen of his mind, like a television, a flashback. Sometimes you're watching a movie, and it's a present action, and the man is sitting with his girlfriend in the car on the beach, and the waves are breaking. He says, see those waves? When I was young, I used to do scuba diving. And I was a young boy, and my father would take me scuba diving under the water. And all of a sudden, the image changes. Then this little boy is scuba diving with his father. Then a big shark comes and bites his leg and whatever. So it's called flashback. And then it goes back. Then the girlfriend says, oh, really? And then they come back to present day, sitting in the car. That really happened to you? Yes, yes. That's how I got this cut on my leg. The shark bit me. So this sage, Loma Sharishi, he's doing this flashback. By his meditation, he's flashing back to Purvajanam. He's saying, yes, in the last life, the previous life, this king was a poor Vaishya, a merchant. He committed a sinful deed. Once while traveling from village to village in the course of his business, he became overwhelmed with thirst. It was the midday Dwadasi in the month of July. Soon he found a beautiful lake and decided to take a drink to quench his thirst. However, at that time, a cow and her newly born calf came there to the same lake to drink water. As the cow began to drink water from the lake, the merchant immediately drove her away and began to drink water himself instead. As a result of obstructing the thirsty cow from drinking water, the merchant had committed grave sin. For this reason, though the merchant has now been born as King Mahijit by the influence of his piety, but because of his sin, he cannot get his son. Now, this is another principle is being taught here, between the lines, about the accumulation of punya and pap. We enjoy our punya and we suffer our pap. Papa karma and punya karma. So he was a Vaishya. And this is also something to do with Varnashram Tattva. Varnashram Dharma Tattva. Because the Varnashram Dharma is set up in the scriptures. Krishna is telling Gita, Chaturvarnya Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. He's saying that I've established these four varnas and four ashrams according to guna and karma, quality and action. Not by birth, although birth can be potential. You're born in the Brahmin family, you have the potential to be a Brahmin if you exhibit the activities, karma, and the qualities, guna and karma. Chaturvarnya Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. These four divisions of society and four divisions of ashram have been created by me, Arjun, and they're based on these qualities of guna and karma. Quality, or surup lakshana and tatastha lakshana, characteristics, attributes, and actions. Karma means actions, kriya, chesta, behavior. So, if one follows the proper laws, the nisheda, the vidhi, the yama and niyama of the Vedic paradigm, and he's born a Shudra, he's observing the proper vidhi, rules and regulations of a Shudra, dutifully serving the higher classes and worshipping his Lord. Everyone in Varnashram worships Vishnu. Everyone's worshipping Vishnu, although they may worship some secondary demigods for material benefit. But Varnashram Dharma is set up Dharma, Art, Kam, Moksha. Moksha. So everyone, irregardless of your social position or your spiritual position, the goal for the Sudra is moksha. The goal for the Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahman is moksha. The goal for the Brahmachari, everyone is moksha. Although we have to go on our certain course. But this is the goal of the whole Vedic society. So, if one would be born in a Vedic culture as a Shudra, and he was living as a proper, pious, religious Vaishnava Shudra, and observed all the rules and regulations properly, and the next life, or it may take a few lives, he'd be maybe a wealthy Shudra or a better place Shudra, but generally he's promoted. It's called, this is a type of mukti. Because you get mukti, the goal is moksha. So when you come to the highest position in pure consciousness, then you get Vaikuntha mukti. If your consciousness is not so high, you get Swarga mukti. You go to Swarga. Or maybe you go to Bhuloka or Bhuvaloka. Or you stay in Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. So Bhur is the earth planet. And Bhuva, is it planets above the earth? Then Bhur, Bhuva, and then Swa. Swa is a higher planet, Swargaloka, etc. Then above Swargaloka is Janaloka, Maraloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, or Brahmaloka. These are the most highest planets, which are very difficult to go. So another type of mukti is called Varna Mukti, or Varna Moksha. That you're a very good Shudra, then next life you get promoted to become a Vaishya. So this is the general how people move through in the Vedic religious, God-centered, Vishnu-centered culture. They go up the Varnas, up the ashrams. You're a Shudra of so many births, and finally Vaishya so many births, and finally Kshatriya so many births, and finally Brahman so many births. Then Brahman, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Brahman, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanapras. Then a Brahman again, now this time Sannyas. Then Brahman, Sannyas, 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 and finally Moksha. If you're initiated in Madhva Sampradaya, we are Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is a speciality of Lord Chaitanya's touch, which is significant. But if you're only in Madhva Sampradaya, who we are connected with, they say you cannot get moksha until you become born as a Brahmin and take sannyas. So if you're any other varna or any other ashram, you can't go to Vaikuntha, you can't get your Dasya Bhakti and or Krishna Bhakti in Vaikuntha as in Dasya. Dasya, it's called Dasya Bhav. They don't have, there's no Sakya Bhav in Vaikuntha. There's no Vatsalya, and Madhurya is mostly Lakshmi Devi. So basically what they're presenting, Madhvas, is Dasya Bhav and Shanta Bhav. But to attain that moksha, to go to Vaikuntha, you have to be born as a Brahmin and then take sannyas. So it's very, not too many people will get an opportunity to take, although there are many followers of Madhva, but they know that that's the way it is. So Lord Chaitanya is extremely Namo Mahavaranyaya Namo Brahmani Deva, was it? Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Vridayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Trise Namaha. That no one is more merciful and more kind than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Magnanimous. Mahavaranyaya, greatly, so greatly kind and magnanimous. No one can compare to the Chaitanya Avatar, Gauranga Avatar. He's given so much mercy that anyone say Krishna Tattva Veda Se Guru Hai. He's saying not only can everyone get moksha or prema of Marta Bahan, but anyone can become a guru. Kiva Vipra Kiminasi Sudrakinai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda Se Guru Hai. That if you know the Krishna Tattva, whether you're born a sannyasi or a Shudra or a woman or anything, if you know the Tattva of Krishna, you become guru. Yaradeki Tarekaya Krishna Upadesh Amara Agana Guru Hanatadesh. And you give the Krishna Upadesh. You tell the instructions of Krishna wherever you go. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you see, wherever you go, you tell them about Krishna. And this way you become guru on my order. Amara Agya. Amara Agya means my order. Mahaprabhu is telling this to Korma Brahman and Kormahatta in South India. He says, Amara Agya. On my order. Amara Agya. On my order you become guru. So, not only can you become guru, but anyone, man, woman, children, old, young, shudras, anyone can take up the Sankirtan movement and attain Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Attain the Param Vijayate, the supreme victory, the topmost Param Vijayate. Topmost victory means Prem. Attain Prem Seva, Radha Govinda, in the groves of Vrindavan. Anyone, anywhere can take up this mission. And by chanting Shuddha Nam, and getting the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, and attain perfection in one lifetime. Such mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, see how difficult it is. If you're born in South India, become a follower of Madhva, you have to be so fortunate to be born a Brahmin, which is very rare. And then of Brahmins, how many will take sannyas? Very rare still. Because it's all determined by chart. If it's not in your chart, they don't give you sannyas. It's not, oh yeah, I want to take sannyas, get liberation. No, let's see your chart. It's not in your chart? No. Bond. So they check the chart. If your sannyas yoga is there in the chart, then at the age of 8 years old they give you sannyas. And you're trained your whole life to be sannyasi.
Horoscope.
Janma Kundali. So here we are hearing from Aloma Sharishi about the past life of this great king Mahijit. And what was he in this life? He's Kshatriya. What was he in last life? Vaishya. So this is showing this principle, a tattva, it's called varna tattva, where you get varna moksha by being a very good member of a particular varna or ashram, then you get promoted to the next ashram or varna in your next life. So this is proof. This is often told, oh, you're very good vaishya, then you become very good kshatriya, then a very good kshatriya become Brahmin, like this. So this is an example from Shastra. This is a story, but in this Leela, or in this Leela Vichara, there's also Tattva Vichara. So I'm bringing out the points of Tattva in the context of a Leela. But he was very, very pious. He very, very pious merchant. He gave a lot of charity and did so many good things, serving sadhus and doing so many things. So he became a powerful king. But he did this grave sin of denying water to a cow or anyone. On hearing the words of the great sage Lomasharishi, the king's Brahmana advisors said, "O great sage, it is stated in the Puranas that by the influence of piety, all one's sinful reactions are counteracted." This is called prayaschitta. You do 5 negative points, and then you have to contribute 5 positive points to bring yourself to zero. If you borrow $5, then you're negative 5. But then you pay back 5, then you're okay. So this is called punya karma to counteract papa karma. And that's one of the offenses in chanting the holy name. To think that the chanting of Hare Krishna, the 8th offense, it's one of the auspicious rituals activities mentioned in the Vedas, is karma kanda. It's not some prayaschit. And you should not think like that. Therefore, please instruct us in some type of punya karma by which all the sinful reactions of the king will be destroyed and thereby he can attain a son. So in other words, it's also indicated here that to obtain a son is a result of great punya. If someone's a papajani, if he's very sinful, then he'll only have daughters, he won't have any sons. He may not have any children at all. Many people can't have children. Those are too much sinful. The great sage Lomasharishi replied, "There is a famous auspicious Ekadasi known as Pavitra Ekadasi occurring during the Shukla Paksha of Shravan Mas. You and your king should properly observe this Ekadasi, and then you should give the piety, the punya sukriti, that you all earn by observing this Ekadasi, you should all donate it to your king. If you follow my instruction, then the king will certainly be blessed with a son." After hearing the words of the great sage Lomasharishi, all the king's advisors became happy and satisfied. They offered their obeisances to the sage and returned home to Mahishmatipuri. There they met King Mahichit and explained everything in detail what they heard from the great sage Lomasha. When the proper time arrived of Shukla Ekadasi Shravan Mas, the king's advisors observed the vow of Pavitra Ekadasi along with the king. And on the day of Dwadasi, they gave away their accumulated piety to the king as advised by the sage. In other words, you can't give it away till you accumulate it. You might take a sankalpa, "O Krishna, by whatever purity I get by observing this Ekadasi, please donate that to my..." Please donate that to my husband so he becomes more inclined towards Krishna consciousness, so he becomes more favorable towards him and starts taking up the practices of hearing and chanting. Please donate the piety to him. So then you observe it. Then that's before. Then when you're finished, when you complete, if by the Lord's mercy and by Guru's blessings, you're able to observe the Vrat of Ekadasi. But it's only by mercy one can observe these things, devotional activities. And the next day you say, "Oh my Lord, by your kind mercy..." There's so many other prayers, but these are self-composed. "My dear Lord Giridhari, by your mercy and by the mercy of my Guru, and by Gauranga's grace, we were able to properly observe this Ekadasi Vrat. So in whatever punya you will award me or whatever sukriti I am destined to receive, please give that to my husband or my mother or father so they become more spiritually inclined." So this principle, which is another again principle, is being shown in the story. This being advised by this great Mahajan, Lomasharishi. In other words, you can give money from your bank account, you can take money out of your bank and donate it to someone else. That's obvious. So the same thing, sukriti is like a punya, bank account of piety, a piety bank account. You can take something from your bank account and donate your piety to someone else. That's a very interesting feature of this, because people think, "Wait a minute, I'll run out of money. If I keep taking money out of my bank and giving it to others, then I'll run out of money, right?" But this is a special feature of sukriti, is that it's told in Padma Puran, and there's a few chapters about karma and transferal karma and other things. It's also available in English. We've read there directly ourselves. It says, if you observe, for example, Harivasara, or the devotional observance of fasting and Ekadasi, and you choose to donate the piety to someone, a relative or to your guru or disciple or whomever, a relative, husband, wife, etc. If you have that choice and decide to donate it to them, then you get 100 times the benefit. That person will get merit once. They'll get the merit of the full Ekadasi. They haven't done anything. Maybe they ate grains on that Ekadasi. Maybe they ate meat or whatever. But because your Sankalpa is there, because this system is actually there, you can transfer and get and award piety to others by your Sankalpa and by your observance. They will get the full benefit in their bank account of observing this Ekadasi. But not only that, you will get 100 times the benefit by having that thought and actually doing like that. So it's a very... basically what the Padma Purana is saying, they're encouraging people to donate piety, like a blood bank. People donate blood to hospitals so they'll get blood themselves and also to benefit the people that are suffering there. So it seems to be quite an encouragement to, when you observe your Ekadasi, then donate. Give a donation. Think of someone who needs it, and then you'll get more. You'll get more benefit. So this is another principle we're learning. And there's many stories here about this donating the effect of your piety. So this is actually a law, a Vedic law. This is a law of the world established by Bhagavan himself and repeated by the rishis and told here by the rishis. This is not imagination. This is not mythology or mythology. It's a very interesting transcendental banking where you can do some austerity or tapasya and donate and contribute the accumulated or the rewarded or collected sukriti you can donate to someone else for their spiritual benefit. And I have my experience myself with advising some devotees that were having difficulty with their husbands or wives being non-supportive and totally against them, their practices of Krishna consciousness, what to speak of neutral. And they said, what can we do? Besides, can we pray for them? Yes, you can pray to Krishna, that's also there. But this is a very tangible and powerful thing that you can actually donate your sukriti. If you're doing Chaturmasya fast or Kartik Brat or the monthly, bi-monthly or bi-weekly, let's say, the two Ekadasi fasts every month, it's very, very powerful. Ekadasi is such a powerful day. You can donate the punya to your mother, father, husband, wife, etc. And you'll see the effect. I guarantee in 1 year, if you observe 24 Ekadasis, I put it in writing, you'll see a tangible, measurable change in your husband and wife if you do this. I put myself on a line like that. And several accounts, at least half a dozen people, have seen the effect. Because these are the words of the sages, which means they're the words of God. The words of Shastra, Padma Purana, etc. These are all the Shastras are emanating from the breathing of Lord Vishnu. And all the sages are actually the Shakti, the Kripa Shakti Murtis of the Lord Himself. So whatever a holy person says, Vishnu is saying. Whatever Vishnu is saying is recorded in the Shastras, in the Vedic Shastras, Vedic Praman. It's called Praman, Shastra Praman, Shabda Praman. This is infallible, Aparasheya, transcendental, infallible, Achyuta Gyan. Achyuta Gyan means infallible knowledge. Perfect knowledge, no mistakes, no changing. Oh, we think it's like this, and then we change the science book next year. Well, it's like that. It could be like this, it may be like that. It's absolute, it's perfect, it's direct, conclusive, no argumentation, flawless. So, this I've seen, and so you can also implement this principle in your future ashram. And you'll see. So it's not a hopeless situation. Prayer is always there. And then this very practical implementation of contributing charity and then contributing your punya phal. And then you get 100 times more punya phal yourself. You give someone $10 and then you get $1,000. That's pretty good. Who would not go for that type of business? Listen, if you could give $10 to that guy, your bank will fill up with $1,000. Everybody would be going crazy about this business. But the austerity business, people are not too crazy about that. If you're going to all the trouble to perform austerity, Jagaran, Ekadasi Jagaran, or Ekadasi Brat, then one should consider who needs it most. Generally, I just do for myself. It's only getting one-time benefit. But if we can do for others, then it's very, very helpful. And I've seen it really worked. People were at their wits' end. I don't know what to do about my husband and wife. They're totally against it. I can't do anything. I said, do this. It's a very silent thing. You just observe these Ekadasi and then watch the magic. It's magic. It's invisible. All of a sudden, after 6 months, 1 year, well, I've been thinking about your situation. I think you like to go to Vrindavan. I think I'll buy you a flat in Vrindavan. What? Unbelievable, inconceivable. How is it possible? Out of nowhere. Person that won't even let you show any japa beads in front of their face or any holy book or anything. They don't want to see you if they're in the house. It has to be all hidden, and now they're buying you a flat in Vrindavan. And then another year goes by, then the same person picks up japa beads and starts chanting 10 rounds a day. This is the miracle. This is what we call a miracle. It's really a miracle. I've seen it over and again. Because I've read this principle in Shastra, and people are asking, what can I do? What can I do besides pray? Everyone turns to prayer. That's a common thing. Oh, I pray for my husband. Pray to God to change my husband, change my wife, change my mother, change my father, etc. Without even Shastra, one will come to that conclusion. Oh, pray to God. When nothing else works, throw up your hands and pray to God. Draupadi is a classic example. Nothing else worked. All of her physical strength, all of her petitions, all of her cursing, all of her physical strength to hold onto her saris, nothing worked. And she threw one arm up in the air and prayed to God, but she held on with one arm. So God wasn't listening. When she threw both arms up in the air and did Atma Samarpan, total surrender, because you can't hold on to your sari with both arms in the air, then Krishna reciprocated and gave her 50,000 miles of sari. So Dushashan or Shakuni or whoever it was, he couldn't disrobe her. This is a very nice point in the story. So, everyone did that, following the advice of the sage, and on the day of Dwadasi, they gave all the piety to the king. By the influence of this punya, the queen became pregnant, and in due course of time, she gave birth to a beautiful son, Harivo! And Krishna goes on to say, O King Yudhisthira, anyone who observes this sacred Pavitra Ekadasi is relieved from sinful reactions and becomes happy in this life and the next. One who hears the glories of this Ekadasi obtains the happiness derived from having a son in this life and goes back to God in his next life. That's nice. It's the happiness of having a son without having one. That's what's implied there. He derives the happiness from having a son without the bother of having one and goes back to God in his next life. Pavitra Ekadasi ki jai. In Boma Vrindavan, when the Dandakaranya sages, who had performed intense austerities for thousands and thousands of years to become gopis, because they were attracted to Rama and Madhurya Bhav, and the Dandakaranya sages took birth in Boma Vrindavan, and they took gopi roop. They became gopis by the blessings of Ramchandra. And their fulfillment, their desire to have Madhurya Bhav, or let's say conjugal relationship with Ram, who he could not fulfill, will be fulfilled by Rasika Shekhara, this Rasaraj Sri Krishna, because he can fulfill everyone's desire. So these Dandakaranya sages are called Sadhana Siddha Gopis. They perform sadhana for thousands and thousands of years in Treta Yuga, and they were born in the Dwapara Yuga in Boma Vrindavan during Krishna's Prakat Leela in some place, some universe. And they, when they were appeared there, and then they had their in Swarup City, in their spiritual form, but not quite Vastu City, because Vastu is when they return to the spiritual world. So they approach Radharani, and this story is told in Garga Samhita. And they said, listen, what can we do to please Krishna? Because we're still not perfect yet. We're here, we have our Gopi Swarup, and we're in our Siddha Deha, we're in Boma Vrindavan, but we're not quite qualified yet to attain our fulfillment of our desire to dance with Krishna in Rasa dance. So then Radharani advised them, O Sadhana Siddha Gopis, O Gopis, you should observe Ekadasi Brat. So, might as well get used to observing Ekadasi. Because even when we go to Boma Vrindavan and Gopi Swarup, we'll be observing Ekadasi. So then, Radharani explained very specifically how to observe Ekadasi, and as told in Garga Samhita. But in the course of that discussion, she also offered a benediction and a boon to those Dandakaranya sages or Sadhana Siddha Gopis who she was advising and to anyone in the future who would read Garga Samhita and wish to follow. And she said, Srimati Radharani said, anyone who chants the names of the 24 Ekadasis plus the two Ekadasis of Adhikamas, which means the names of the 26 Ekadasis, if anyone does that on the day of Ekadasi, then he will get this Sukriti fall or Punya fall or result, pious result, of observing the vow of Dwadasi for the entire year. So that would mean there's Ekadasi Brat, there's also something called Dwadasi Brat, which one king in the Bhagavatam, he observed that. Kardamuni maybe. Kardamuni, his wife, Devahuti, I think, observed the vow of Dwadasi, Ekadasi, and Dwadasi. Of course, Ambarish also, King Ambarish. So it means they fast, they do Nirjala and Ekadasi, and on Dwadasi they also fast. Maybe they take just milk and stay up all night. That's the Dwadasi Brat. Ekadasi up all night and Nirjal. And Dwadasi, no sleep in a day and up all night, and maybe I think take a little milk. So that's Dwadasi Brat. So you can attain the benefit or punya observing Dwadasi Brat simply by reciting the names of these 26 Ekadasis. So we usually do that every Ekadasi. So those we can recite together, so you get the benefit. Utpana, Mokshada, Safala, Putrada, Shatila, Jaya, Vijay, Amalaki, Papamochani, Kamada, Varutini, Mohini, Apara, Nirjala, Jogini, Devashayani, Kamani, Pavitra, Adja, Padma, Indira, Pashankusha, Rama, Prabodhini, Padmini, and Parama. Anyone who chants the names of these 26 Ekadasis, said Srimati Radharani, obtains the Sukriti or Punyafal, the result, piety, of observing the vow of Dwadasi for the entire year. Srimati Radhika ki jai, Garga Samhita ki jai, Sri Garga Rishi ki jai, Sri Pavitra Ekadasi Brata ki jai.